Is the mic working? You good? Thank you. Okay. Oh.
Yep. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, fine. So we are doing the malach, the principle of Klal HaYad. We're learning that if you do malach in a manner that is abnormal, that is a shinoi, so you're going to be putter. Tonight, we're going to go through a very practical shiloh that comes up in the postgim, which has different facets to it, but one of the big points of contention in this discussion will be the issue of Klal HaYad, and we'll have certain refinements into this principle. So that's the agenda for tonight. So the shiloh we're going to discuss tonight is the issue of cutting a cake that has letters on it. Let's say you have a birthday cake, it says happy birthday. What is the halachic perspective of cutting the cake and breaking up the letters? And the issue is malachas mochek. Mochek is one of our 39 malachos. It's the malacha of erasing. When you cut the cake and you destroy the letters, you're destroying the letters. That's a certain form of mechika. Maybe that should fit under malachas mochek. So that's the shiloh we're going to be analyzing tonight. Yeah.
Cutting around letters and giving each letter out,
So we're gonna Mirza Shem do it more thoroughly now. Dov is Baruch Hashem remembering quite well from what we did with Mohek, but now we never actually went through this particular Shiloh well. So we're gonna do the Shiloh in depth tonight, and then we'll reassess what we said. Hopefully it was right. It should be right, but we'll have more background now. Okay. So the Shiloh begins with the Mordechai. Mordechai brings Rabbeinu Meir, who says that this is Aser. Rabbeinu Meir says that you cannot, there were these ugos, these cakes that were cut up, and there were sometimes kids were tinokos, he says, were cutting them up. And this really is Aser to do. It's Aser to cut cake and to cut up the letters. That's brought down explicitly in a Rishon, Rabbeinu Meir. And the Ramah brings this down, the Halacha, in Arachayim Simit Shin Mem Sif Gimel, the Ramah brings down that it is Aser to cut the letters of a cake because it fits under Malachas Mochek. Comes along the Dalgam Ravava, and the Dalgam Ravava is unhappy with this Chumrah of the Ramah. The Dalgam Ravava was written by the Noda Behuda, one of the great Gedolim, I think in the 1700s. And the Dalgam Ravava feels that it's not appropriate to be Machmer in the Shaila. It really is Kedai to be Mekel, because there are a number of mitigating factors. He comes up with a number of mitigating factors to downgrade the severity of this form of mochek to the point that he thinks it should be fine. What are the mitigating factors? So there are three major mitigating factors that he comes up with to chip away at the severity of this type of malachas mochek. So just to go through them one at a time. So heter number one that we have in this situation is the heter of davar she'ena miskavin. Davar she'ena miskavin is going to be actually our next principle after Klal HaYad, Mirtz Hashem, coming up soon. So just to give a quick preview, Davar she'ena miskavin teaches us that you're only going to violate any Isra in the Torah if you have Kavana for it. If you do an Isra with Kavana, so then it's going to be Asr. But if you don't have Kavana for an Isra to take place, under appropriate circumstances, under circumstances that we'll have to discuss, it's going to be permissible. So in this situation, when you cut the cake, what's your Kavana? What's your goal in cutting this cake? Your goal is not to destroy the letters. My goal is to just cut the cake so I can give out pieces to my guests. And as a secondary result, Malachas Mochek is taking place. I don't have Kavana for it. And therefore, that's going to mitigate the severity of this situation. Now, for those who are more seasoned, we know that this is actually a more complicated case because this is what we call a case of psik resha. It's inevitable. When you do this primary act of cutting the cake, which is technically mutter, it's inevitable that cutting the cake is going to destroy the letters. So this is what we call a case of psik resha, which is much more complicated. But this is a psik resha delo echbas lei, meaning to say that although, yes, it's inevitable that if you cut the cake, it's going to cause a secondary act of malachas mochek, but you don't care whether the letters get destroyed or not. The person doesn't care whether the letters are destroyed or not. It's a psik resha delo echbas lei, a psik resha, a secondary act that you don't care about. And there's a major argument to permit that type of activity. So that is mitigating factor number one, the heter of kavana. In this case, there's no kavana. And although it's inevitable, but it's a psik resha delo echbas lei. Daniel, you have a question?
Is this not more of a malach shen tzricha legufo?
Okay, so there's a major group of Rishonim who hold that a psik resha delo echbas lei is synonymous with malach shen tzricha legufo. So your question happens to be extremely sophisticated. So Amir Tzishan, when we get there in a few weeks, we'll analyze that. But for our purposes, I'm calling it a psik reish lechbas lech.
Okay.
Fine. That is heter number one. Heter number two is the heter of mekalkel. That was our previous principle, that if you do something in a destructive manner, you're going to be pater. In this case, when you cut the cake, this is a destructive activity. Meleches mochi in this situation is destructive. It's mekalkel. And so therefore, that is a second mitigating factor. And finally, the third heter in this situation is the heter of kelach ariyad, the principle that we're working on. If you do melacha in an abnormal manner, it's going to be pater. Claims the Dagom Ravava that somehow this is kelach ariyad. That's going to have to be assessed. But he says that this is considered to be an abnormal activity. This is not a normal way of destroying the letters. And therefore, that's a third mitigating factor. So these are the three mitigating factors that the Dalgam Ravava comes up with, why he thinks that this should be permissible. First of all, it's a Dover Shein and Eskav, and you don't have Kavana for Meleches Mochik in this case. I'm just cutting the cake. And as a consequence, the letters are getting destroyed. And although it's inevitable, it's what we call Psik Reishit, the Lechbas, so you don't care about the secondary results. Heter number two is mekalkel. This is destructive. There's nothing being accomplished by this act of erasing. And heter number three is the heter of shinoi, which we'll have to assess. But for now, he's calling this an abnormal activity, and therefore it's really permissible. So that is the big heter of the Dagam Ravava. He feels that it's perfectly permissible to cut the cake and go right through the letters. Now, of course, we start out with a rishon. The Ramah, who is machmer in the Shaila, didn't say this on his own. The Ramah was machmer because it came from a rishon, the Mordechai. The Mordechai brought Rabbeinu Meir, who says explicitly that it's usher to cut a cake with letters. So how is the Dagam Ravava now attacking the Ramah when it's really a rishon who's saying that this is usher? The Dagam Ravava is claiming it's mutter when it's really a rishon saying that it's usher. So the Dagam Ravava is perfectly aware of this Mordechai, and he gives the following explanation of the Rabbeinu Meir. He makes a certain diak, which we're not going to spell out now, but he's medayik that the Rabbeinu Meir is discussing a very unique and specialized circumstance. That it's true. In the typical situation, it's perfectly permissible to cut the cake and destroy the letters. But the Rabbeinu Meir, was discussing a unique situation where it's going to be aser. What was the case that he was discussing? The case he was discussing was where there was a certain skula to write some writing onto a piece of cake and to have tinokos, to have young kids eat it as a certain skula. That was a skula that existed apparently back in the day. He's trying to be medayik this from the Rabbeinu Meir, that there's a certain skula, you write something on a piece of cake, sounds like when he's 3 years old maybe, and he eats up the cake and there's a certain accomplishment, a certain fulfillment of a skula. In that situation, says the Dagam Ravava, it's gonna be awesome. Because in that case, we lose two out of three of our heterim. First of all, heter number one was supposed to be that I don't want to destroy the letters. It's not my goal. It's not my kavana to destroy the letters. Well, in this case, if there's a skula to eat the letters and to consume the writing, you do technically want to destroy the letters. So we lose heter number one. It is being done by kavana in this unique situation, and we don't have that heter. And in terms of mekalkel, that was our second heter, that if you do a destructive activity, it's pater, and cutting up the cake is destructive. So once again, in this case, says the Dagam Ravava, it's going to be productive. Because again, there's some kind of skula that you eat this cake and it gives you superpowers, whatever, just like the third COVID vaccine. So this also gives you super radioactive powers. And that's an accomplishment. So the destruction of the letters, you're consuming the letters, you're tapping into a skula, that is an accomplishment. So we lose two out of three of our heterim in this specific case when there's this skula to eat the cake. That's why it was also in that case. But in a typical case, it's perfectly permissible. So that is now shita number two, the Dagam Ravava, arguing on the Ramah, claiming that it should be perfectly permissible to eat this cake. Yeah.
According to our motion from last week, you wouldn't even have kalach ariyad in this case as a potential heter,
okay,
right?
So we're going to assess kalach ariyad in a few seconds. After we do the preliminary assessment, if you could reconsider the question, and if you think it's a question, then ask it again. But there's a more basic issue that we're going to go through in a second, and then you'll tell me, weigh in again if you don't mind, please.
Okay.
When we get there. Okay. Yeah, Penny. One more time. Penny's asking, is the school to cut it or to eat it? So it seems to be both, to consume it and destroy the letters, to eat it up. Yeah, cutting it and eating it. Okay, fine. But that's That's what the Gemara Bava says, that this apparently the skula that made it productive and stuff. Okay. Now, comes along the Ktsos HaShulchan, and the Ktsos HaShulchan was written by Rav Chaim Noah, for those of you who are familiar with the measurements. And the Ktsos HaShulchan is not happy with the Dagam Ravava. So he is defending now the Ramah. The Ramah was Machmir on this Shaila. He felt that it should be Asr to do. And the Ktsos HaShulchan is defending the Ramah by attacking two of the Heterim of the Dagam Ravava. The Dagam Ravava had three Heterim, and the Ktsos HaShulchan doesn't like two of them. Two out of three he feels are not applicable, and therefore we should be Machmir on this Shaila. Which two Heterim doesn't he like? So let's spell them out one at a time. First of all, the Ktsos HaShulchan doesn't like heter number two. Heter number two of the Dagam Ravava was the heter of Mekalkel. He was saying that it's destructive when you cut this cake up. You're doing a destructive act. You're destroying these letters. Nothing is coming about. Nothing is being accomplished by this malacha. Therefore, it should be potter. That should be one mitigating consideration. Says the Ktsos HaShulchan, if you think about it, it's really not destructive. Because what was the intended lifespan of these letters? When you put letters onto a cake, what is your intended goal for how long the letters are supposed to last? You don't want the letters to last perpetually. It's not supposed to last forever. It's supposed to last until the cake is eaten. So when you cut the cake up to eat it, you're not destroying this beautiful Picasso painting that was supposed to be there. You're just using the cake. That was the whole goal in the first place, to write happy birthday, to last until you're ready for the birthday party and you eat the cake. So he wants to claim that that's not called destructive. Destructive would be if you walk into the bakery before it's sold and it's on the showcase and you start chopping up the cake and ruining it, that would be called destructive. It wasn't intended to be cut up at that point in time. That's premature. That's called destructive. But when you're ready to eat the cake and to just cut it up and serve it to your guests and to eat it, you're just giving fruition to the goal of, you know, the original writing. The original writing was meant to last until it's going to be eaten. That's the lifespan of these letters. That's not called destroying it. You're just using the cake. He wants to claim it's not destructive. So that's the argument of the Ktsos HaShulchan. It's a pretty sophisticated argument, pretty sound svara there, that it's you're just using the cake at this point. You're not destroying anything. It's meant to be used. It shouldn't be called mekalkel. Mr. Verstandig, did you have a question? Yeah, okay. So that's a fourth point, which, okay, so Mr. Verstandig is bringing up Derech Achila. That happens to be an excellent point. Not that he needs my eskama, but... Okay, so it happens to be that it's a very sharp point. Mr. Verstandig is pointing out Derech Achilo should apply in this case, perhaps. That is a fourth consideration, which just for the sake... So the Dagon Rav and the Taz bring up the issue of Derech Achilo in the context of this situation. But I was leaving this out just for the sake of time, because Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of geschmack stuff that's going to come out of this discussion. Yeah.
This maybe they disagree with the idea of the conflict, whether it's does it have to be something that is inherently destructive, or is it something that is just not productive?
Excellent. Mordechai just got the chakira we're heading towards. So let's just, I'm not going to even spell it out. We'll get there, Mr. Sim. Good. Beautiful. So let's go in steps. Fine. So that's argument number one of the Ktsos HaShulchan. Argument number two of the Ktsos HaShulchan is on the heter of Shinoi. That was the third heter of the Dagam Ravava, that this is called abnormal, and therefore it should be another mitigating factor which should downgrade the severity. Says the Ktsos HaShulchan, what is abnormal about cutting a cake? This is a perfectly normal activity. You cut a cake, that's what you do with a cake. This is the way anyone interacts with a cake. Goyim do it. We do the same thing during the week. This is what you do with a cake. You cut it. There's nothing abnormal at all with cutting a cake. Why should we apply the heter of Shinoi? So that is his second attack on the Dagam Ravava, that the heter of Shinoi should not apply because this is a perfectly normal activity. So these are the two attacks of the Ktsos HaShulchan, defending the Chumra of the Ramah, that first of all, the Kalkel shouldn't apply because this is not destructive. This was the intended lifespan of the letters. And second of all, Shinoi shouldn't apply because this is a perfectly normal activity. You cut a cake, what else do you do with a cake? And therefore, that heter shouldn't apply, so there's no room to be makel. So these are the attacks now of the Ktsos HaShulchan on the Dagam Ravava. Yeah.
You can't walk the same way you walk every week as you do on Shabbos, and the Ktsos HaShulchan you're eating by definition is different than it is on Shabbos, on Shabbos and just during the week. So we stick to Lachry as the Shina, or even Mishnah from the week or on Shabbos within the framework of Shabbos.
Because that's where we have to go. We have to analyze. Pin is asking a good question, but we're going to have to get into analysis of where Kalachiyat applies to assess the second point. We're going to deal with that. Good. Yeah.
But doesn't Rabbah say that Shidoi is cutting the cake or erasing the letters?
Okay, so everyone's raising the issue now of how to defend the Lagom Rabbah. So, Mitzvah, let's just zero in on that issue, and then we'll take do the analysis together here. Fine. So just, we're going to start now analyzing how the Lagom Rabbah will defend himself against the Ksos Shulchan. But I just want to do a quick 30-second recap because we had a lot of info. So before we start the analysis, let's just quickly make sure we have the facts down. So just to quickly sum up, we're trying to deal with the issue of cutting a cake on Shabbos that has writing on it. And the basic primary sources on this issue, we have the Ben Meir or Rishon saying that this is Aser, but a Machlokes Achronim asked if it's really Aser or not. So we have the Ramon Ksos Shulchan versus the Dalgam Ravava. Is this really Aser or not? The Ramah and the Ksos Shulchan are saying that this is indeed Aser, whereas the Dagam Rav Avah is claiming that it's really Mutter, that in a general case, it's permissible because there are three heterim, the heter of Enam Iskavin, the heter of Kilkel, Makalkel, and the heter of Shinoi. In combination with these three mitigating factors, they all chip away at the severity to the point that it's not Kedai to be Machmir, says the Dagam Rav Avah. And we now have the two attacks of the Ksos Shulchan on the Dagam Rav Avah, two reasons why he feels that the two of that term are not applicable. He didn't like the heter of Mekalkel. He felt that this is not called destructive because this is the lifespan of the letters. And he didn't like the heter of Shinoi. So those are the basic facts now in the Sugya. And let's just take a stop for 10 seconds. Any questions? And then we'll just start the analysis. Any questions of the facts?
We don't have to take it as a given that the Dagomel Ravava's read of that Rabbeinu Meir is the same in that historical context, right? He can just simply argue that
100%. It's not explicit at all. It's his diak is from the fact that Ben Meir is discussing ukos of tinokos, and he says hatinokos. And so the Dagom Rav Avah feels he's discussing specific type of cake of tinokos. Like there's no skula written at all in the words. As I'm saying, it's certainly debatable how to read this.
That could be the most pushed answer to the whole
100%. In terms of derivationally how to read the Ben Meir, it's not clear at all that he has to be saying what the Dagom Rav Avah is saying. He's certainly coming from Sfarah. He's starting out with Sfarah that this can't be Aser. He's therefore rereading the Rabbeinu Meir. And, you know, the mice, he made it into the Shulchan Aruch and we didn't, you know? Okay, fine. So now for the remainder of tonight's shiur, we're going to break it down into two parts. In part one, let's first analyze the first point of contention on the issue of Mekalkel. And in part two, let's analyze the second point of contention on the issue of Shinoi. So that's what we're going to deal with right now. So starting with the first point of contention on Mekalkel. So once again, just to zero in, the question is, should we apply the Ptur of Mekalkel in this situation? The Dagom Rav Avah is saying that we should apply this Ptur. It should downgrade the severity of this case. Whereas the Ksos HaShulchan is claiming that this is not destructive. This was the intended lifespan of these letters. This isn't called a destructive act. The question is, what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the two Shitos in this Machlokas? So Mordechai already basically hit the nail on the head. So I'm just going to flesh it out what he basically said, but just to add a little bit more beer. So there's a classic chakira as to how to understand the Ptur of Mekalkel, and it fits beautifully into this Machlokas. Let's spell out the chakira, which Mordechai basically said, and then let's plug it back into this issue. We have this principle of Mekalkel, that if you do Malacha in a destructive manner, you're Pater. If you do Malacha in a productive manner, you are chayev. The question is, when we have these two points, that destructiveness pathers you and productivity is mechayev you, which of these two points is the baseline? What's the real baseline halacha of Mekalkel? When we say destructiveness pathers you and productivity is mechayev you, which of these two points is the baseline? The two basic possibilities you can take for how to understand the real halacha of Mekalkel when this halacha kicks in. One possibility is to say that it specifically emphasizes destructiveness. When you do something in a destructive manner, that's going to exempt you. That's a poter, that malachos in general are chayiv. But if you do it in a destructive manner, destructiveness is a poter. It's going to exempt you from accountability. So as long as you do malacha in a manner that's not destructive, you're going to be chayiv because you're always chayiv when you do malacha. It's just that there's a special patur. If it's destructive, that's going to pater you. So that is possibility number one in our chakira. I just want to split up because it's a little bit abstract. Possibility number two is to say that maybe that's not the baseline. Maybe the baseline doesn't emphasize destructiveness. Maybe the real baseline halacha is productivity. There's a positive need. There has to be a positive accomplishment when you do a malacha to be chayiv. There needs to be a tikkun in a malacha to be chayiv. If you're lacking in productivity, if there's no tikkun, then you're going to be patur. So the second side is to say that there's a positive requirement. You need to have tikkun. You need productivity to be chayiv. If you're lacking in productivity, you're going to be patur. So we're posing in chakira. When we say that mekalkel is patur and tikkun is chayiv, what's the real halach on the table here? Our first possibility is to say that you're really always chayiv as long as it's not destructive. Destructiveness is a poter. That is possibility number one. The second possibility is to say that the baseline is the other extreme. The real halach is productivity. There's a positive need for productivity to be chayiv. If you're not productive, you're going to be patur. Now, does anyone see what the nafkamina would be in this chakira here in terms of what's the baseline halach? What would be the nafkamina in this chakira?
A lack of positivity would create a more broad definition of what's kilkel.
In other words, if you do an act that's not destructive, but not productive, you do a bland activity. It's not destructive. You didn't destroy anything. You also didn't accomplish anything. What would it didn't be? So if you go with the first thought in the chakira, that destructiveness pathers you. As long as you're not destructive, you're going to be chayiv. And in this situation where you do a power of activity that's not productive, but not destructive, you're going to be chayiv. Whereas in the second side, if we say that there's a positive need for productivity to be chayiv, and if you're lacking in that productivity, you're going to be patur. Well, then in this situation, if you do a bland act that's not accomplishing anything, you're going to be patur. So that's the nafkamina in this chakira. What if you do an act that's not destructive, but not productive? So now let's plug this chakira now into this shaila over here. We're having a shaila. When you cut the cake and you cut through the happy birthday and now it says happy instead of happy, whatever. So is that going to be subject to the patur of mekalkel or not? So let's go through the two tzadim in the chakira and show how they play out differently. Starting with the first side in the chakira. If we say that the real halacha of mekalkel is destructiveness, that if you do something destructive, that's a poter. As long as it's not destructive, you are chayiv. There's no need for productivity per se. The real halacha is destructiveness. When it's destructive, that's a poter. If it's not destructive, you will be chayiv. A bland activity that doesn't accomplish anything, as long as it's not destructive, it's going to be chayiv. That was the first sad in the chakira. Going with the first sad in the chakira, when I cut the cake and I go through the happy birthday on the cake, in this situation, we now have a strong argument to say that the patur of mekalkel should not apply. Because this is not a destructive act. I'm not destroying anything. This was the intended lifespan of the letters. The letters were meant to last until I eat the cake. It wasn't meant to go beyond that. I'm not destroying anything. You destroy a painting, it was meant to last forever. You destroyed something. If you destroy the cake in the bakery, you did it prematurely. You're destroying something. When I cut the cake, this is not a destructive act. I'm just utilizing the cake. This is how it was meant to be used. And therefore, we would not apply the patur of mekalkel. So that would be a simple explanation for the Ksos HaShulchan. So the Shulchan is arguing, we can't apply the Torah Mekalkel in this situation. If we understand that the baseline is destructiveness, it has to be destructive for the Torah to apply. If it's not destructive, you're chayiv. In this situation, it's not destructive. You're just utilizing the cake. You're not destroying anything. You're not ruining something. You're not ruining something. Therefore, you would be chayiv. So let's move over now to the second side in the Chakira. The second side was to say that there's a positive need for productivity, that it's not enough to not be destructive. You need to accomplish something in the malach. The malach has to be productive, has to be accomplishing something in order to be chayiv. So now it comes out differently. Because in this case, when you cut through the happy birthday and you destroy the writing, although this might not be destructive, because this was how it was intended to be used, it's also not productive. There's nothing being accomplished by the mechika itself. The etzim malach of destroying the letters is not accomplishing anything. If the wording would have said, happy birthday, Haman, and you're destroying the name Haman, so that would be accomplishing something. You're destroying Haman's name, Amalek, that would be productive. But if you're accomplishing a skula, so that would be productive. But if you're just cutting through the cake, there's nothing being accomplished by this act of mohe. You're not setting up for a ksiva. When I erase something, so usually it's productive because I can now rewrite on it. That's accomplishing something. Mochek is typically accomplishing something. In this case, when you cut through the happy birthday, the malach itself, the destruction of the letters isn't accomplishing anything. And so if we say that there needs to be something productive coming out about the malacha, nothing productive is being accomplished, and therefore we would apply the Ptur of Mekalkel. So that would be the simple explanation for the Dogam Ravava. He felt that it's not enough to not be destructive. You have to accomplish something in a malacha to be chayiv. In this case, you're not accomplishing anything. Nothing is coming about of this malacha, and therefore you're going to be potter. So that was all issue one, call it. In analyzing this machlokes, we're analyzing whether we should apply the Ptur of Mekalkel, and we're plugging in a chakira here as to what's the real halacha of Mekalkel. Is the baseline that destructiveness potters you? As long as it's not destructive, you're going to be chayiv. Or is the baseline that you have a positive need for productivity to be chayiv? If it's not productive, you're going to be potter. And the nafkamina would be a case that's bland. What if I have a case that's not destroying anything, but not accomplishing anything? In that case, would you be chayiv or not? And our case is really an application of that. When I cut through the happy birthday, on the one hand, I'm not destroying anything because this was the intended lifespan of the letters. The cake was meant to be eaten. I'm not destroying the cake. I'm eating the cake. Whereas on the other hand, I'm not accomplishing anything. The malacha itself of mochik isn't accomplishing anything. I'm not setting myself up for ksiva. I'm not destroying Haman's name. I'm not destroying a Starchov. You know, I'm not ruining letters that is accomplishing anything. The erasure itself isn't accomplishing anything. And so therefore you'd be potter. Penny. Okay, so Penny's asking a question from last year. I have a rule. We don't ask a question from last week even. So last year, I'm just afraid that don't do the same thing. So I'm really impressed everyone's remembering Baruch Hashem. It's a big honor on my part to give a shiur to guys that remember stuff from last year, Baruch Hashem. But for the sake of everyone's sanity with this whole Omicron going around, let's worry about that stuff. You know, like, I can't. Last year's stuff, you know? Yeah, Mayor.
I just want to clarify, is everything we're saying tonight talking about both, like if you're cutting the letters with a knife and cutting it with your teeth?
Yeah, I'm discussing right now, as of right now, we're not distinguishing between eating it or cutting with a knife. Halach lamais, there's going to be a distinction, so Mayor Tishan will get to that. But for now, we're discussing all cases. Good question, very good question. Danielle, you have a question?
I'm debating if I have a question. Kilkel
let's debate. No. I feel like you do have a question.
Have a question. I'm just not sure if it's a good question. That's why I'm not sure to bring it up. But Kilkel, as I understood it, meant when an action, a melacha that you seek to accomplish, is not just not meaning its end. It's diverting from its intended purpose. Is that fair to say? So when we're talking about mechika, right? Ultimately, the act is to erase. Even that our problem is though it's not al menas lichtav.
Okay, right. So that was Penny's question. Penny just brought that up. I was trying to avoid Amanas Lechtav just for the sake of sanity.
But then, because if you just say a vague destructive term, then that's not relevant to our particular case, right?
So Amanas Lechtav was a whole, you know, machlokas we had last year. I'm just trying to avoid the complexities of Malachas Mokik.
But how could you avoid it? That's all I want to know. If there's a way to avoid it, then great. But
there were two schools of thought on Malachas Mokik, whether it needs to taf could be Amanas Lechtav, or Amanas Sasakin, any productive act of Mokik is Chayiv. The Rambam Shita is that, and this is how we pass from the Halacha, the Ber Halacha passes the Halacha, any productive act of Mokik is Chayiv no matter what. You don't specifically need Amanas Lichtov. Mm-hmm. There was a major school of thought, what you and Penny had suggested, but I just, for the sake of sanity and 15 minutes left, I'm trying to avoid her.
Okay, I'll back off then.
No, please. Yeah, go for it. Okay, so Pini's getting into the read of the Maram to defend the Ramah against the Dagam Ravava. I'm afraid to overbog down the chevra here, but it's a very good question. Okay, so let's move over to issue number two. Let's try to get through this quickly because Danielle's not going to like this. Fine. So we now have another machlokas on the issue of Shinoi. The question is, when you cut the cake through the letters, do we have the heter of shinoi in this situation? The Dagam Ravava is applying the heter of shinoi, that this is called abnormal, and the Tosfos Shulchan is saying that this is not abnormal at all, this is a perfectly normal activity, and the question is, what is the hesber in that machlokas? And just to make it a pointed question, just to open the floor for 90 seconds, what's pshat in the Dagam Ravava? How on earth is he applying the heter of shinoi in this situation? There's nothing abnormal with cutting a cake. So what's Pshan Dagam Ravava? What's the machlokas? What? Why is that abnormal?
Is the question that
Okay, go. You're clarifying a gochak here, but I'm gonna say okay. Dov is asking a question, but I'm just gonna reformulate it because I don't want to overcomplicate it. But Dov is asking what exactly is the shinui? So the shinui has to be in the malacha itself. So the act of erasing is apparently being called abnormal. That's apparently the Dagim Rav is saying that this destruction of these letters is an abnormal way of doing malachas mochek. Question is, why is that abnormal? This is what you do during the week. This is what you do with a cake. You cut it up. And the little kid asks for the H, and he wants the A and the cream and the balloon. You know, like.
That's not how you cut up. We erase letters. You don't erase letters by cutting around letters. You erase letters by totally removing the letter.
Okay, fine. So I think Dov is saying it. So let's Baruch Hashem. Good. So let's speak it out. But the reason I was presenting like this is because it's going to be very abstract, and I just want you to appreciate the problem. Because you know, to say something fancy without knowing the problem is like, why are you saying it? So now that you appreciate there's a certain pressure points here, you can just appreciate we're going to go into outer space or shtickle. So I'm trying to make sure we know where we're going here. Okay, Rav Asher Weiss poses a chakir now in Shinoi, and we're going to go through that chakir in Shinoi, and in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to show how it plays out in this situation here. Now, the chakir is like, so let's spell the chakir out, and then we'll show how it plugs into this shayla here. Question is, we have this hector, and this is really what we're trying to get at, for the rest of tonight's shir, and next week in Mitzvah Shem, we're refining the principle of Kalach Riyad. And we have this halacha, you do something in an abnormal manner, you're going to be potter. The question is, how exactly do we assess and do we determine whether something is abnormal or whether something is considered to be normal? That's the question we're going to be posing. And Rav Asher Weiss, he poses a basic hakira, two basic possibilities how to make this determination, whether you're abnormal, whether you're normal. Possibility number one is to understand that we look at the activity. We look at the act that you are performing and we ask ourselves, is this a normal activity? Is this an abnormal activity? You want to say it in Yeshiva Shesprach, we look at the Maisa Malacha. We look at the act that you're performing. Is the act a normal activity? Is it an abnormal activity? That is possibility number one. Possibility number two, which is a little abstract, but I'm showing a problem that we need to solve. So you need to say something fancy to deal with a serious problem. The second possibility is to say that we don't actually look at the activity. That's not how we gauge the p'tur of Kalach Riyad. We look at the definition of the malacha itself. We go a little bit broader. We look at the definition of the malacha that's being performed and ask ourselves in a general sense, how is this malacha generally performed? In the original form of this malacha, how do you generally perform this malacha? And how do you generally not perform this malacha? So that is a second way of looking at Kalach Riyad, not the specific act that you're doing. We look at the malacha in a general sense, and we ask ourselves, generally speaking, the original malacha itself, how is that typically done? How is that not typically done? So let's speak at the chakir one more time. It's a very abstract, we'll plug it in, then we'll make more sense. But for now, just again, the first thought is to say, we look at the act that you're doing. This is the intuitive approach. Is the act that you're doing normal? Is the act that you're doing abnormal? The second approach is to say that we don't look at the act itself, we look at the Shem Malacha. We look at the definition of the Malacha itself, and we ask ourselves, the Malacha in its original form, how is it generally done? How is it not generally done? So let's go through this Chakira and plug it into our happy birthday cake and see if this should be considered to be subject to the Ptur of Kalach Riyad. Starting with the first side in the Chakira, if we explain that the Ptur of Kalach Riyad is assessed based on the act that you're doing right now, the specific Maisa Malacha that you're doing, the act that you're doing, is it normal? Is it abnormal? So it should follow that in this situation, when you cut the cake, it is a perfectly normal activity. There's nothing abnormal with the act of cutting a cake. This is what you do during the week. This is what goyim do. There's nothing abnormal. So that would be the shita of the Ktosa Shulchan. The Ktosa Shulchan is understanding that we cannot apply the p'tur of Kalach Riyad in this situation. He's going to understand that we gauge Kalach Riyad based on the activity, and the act in this situation is perfectly normal. There's no p'tur of Kalach Riyad. Let's go now to the second side in the Chakira. The second side is to say that Kalach Riyad is not a function of the act itself that you're doing. It's a function of the Shem Malacha. We look at the definition of the Malacha and we trace it back to the original Malacha and ask in a general sense, how do you generally do this Malacha? And that's going to determine when the Ptur of Kalach Riyad applies. So what Malacha are we discussing right now? We're discussing the Malacha of Mochek, erasing. In its original form, the Malacha of erasing in a typical, called the Av Malacha situation, The typical case of erasing is not that when you generally don't erase, as Dov pointed out, you don't generally erase by destroying the surface that you're erasing. You generally erase by removing the letter, but leaving the surface. Either you just erase it with an eraser or you blotch it out by putting ink on top. You destroy the letters without typically destroying the surface. That's the general way that you erase, typically speaking. Mochek in its original form, the av malacha kol of mochek, when you erase something that's on a piece of paper, you don't generally erase by ripping up the piece of paper. You generally erase by keeping the surface and just attacking the letters, either by erasing it with an eraser or putting ink on top, you know, crossing it out with some ink. So working with the second definition, that we don't look at the act itself, we look at the definition of the malacha. In a general sense, how do you generally do this malacha? And that's koveya kalachar yad. And so working with the second approach, since mochek is generally done through maintaining the surface, not through destroying the surface, in this situation, when it comes to cutting the cake, we're going to apply the p'tur of kalachar yad. Because although it's true, this act is perfectly normal. There's nothing abnormal at all with cutting the cake. But since in a general sense, mochek generally is not done by destroying the surface, in this case, this is going to be subject to the tour of kalachar yad. So this is a very abstract idea. It's not what any of us would call pashup shot, but it seems to be al korchenu what we need to say to explain the dogma rava. Otherwise, how else do we understand why he's applying kalachar yad in this situation? Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, so I have a few questions.
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, so number one, just I guess I'm missing the metzias of the case. In this case, are you scraping the letter off of the cake?
You're cutting nice, beautiful triangles, and you're going right through the H and the A and the P and the B, you know?
Okay. How is that different then? What does that mean, removing the surface then? I'm not sure, just in the
generally speaking, a person usually erases by...
That part I understood, but I'm saying when you're cutting through the letter on the cake, you're not erasing the surface.
You're cutting up the surface itself with the letter.
Okay, I guess what you mean that. I guess that my follow-up question is then, why are we coming up to some whole new definition of kilka? I'm saying I brought up this question with Ramosha. That's what you were alluding to earlier. Why is that not a valid answer?
So what's your question?
Okay, fine. This is a reason for the dogma or vaga. Fine, but I'm
right.
Okay, so we need a reason why it is kilkal, and this would be kilkal.
Yeah, good. Yeah, 100%.
Fine. Koni Ramosha win.
Yeah, yeah. Don't. There's not so much challenge. I just want to get this back. Alachas. Mordechai. Yes. Okay. So let me spell that out in a second, Mr. Shem. Yeah, Penny. Dov. Okay, go for it.
We want to let them get people. So instead, we have bright white cake, we have blue lights on. So we take a knife and skin coats the blue lights.
Good. Yes. So Dov. Yes. Dov. Yeah, good. So Dov is pointing out that if instead of cutting the cake in a normal way by slicing slices, if you would start attacking the letter itself in some way that would be considered abnormal, then enachanami, that would be considered to be a shinoi. Now, I don't know if you have to see if your case is really abnormal, though. If a person doesn't like the writing, if a professional baker didn't like how the happy birthday came out and he slices under the writing just to slice off the frosting, I don't know if that's called abnormal. You know, you have to assess whether that is abnormal or not. Your logic is correct. Just, I don't know if the metzias is true.
Then how is the first case not the mitzvah of the mitzvah of the law, but it's not...
The act is...
To me, the second case is partial that would be the way you do it. You're not cutting cake. That's by the law, but therefore it changes that.
We're short in time, but maybe we'll hack it right after. Okay, I just want to quickly sum up and just make sure we end in time. So just to quickly summarize, it's fine. Just to sum up quickly, get to the halacha maisa. We're discussing the shaila of cutting a cake with letters. In part one of tonight's shir, I guess you could say we set up the basic shitas. The Mordechai said it was asr. The chaluk is achronim, though, if it's really asr or not. Rama and Ksosa Shulchan are saying that it's asr. The Dagam Ravava is saying that it's mutter. The Dagam Ravava has three haterim, and the Ksosa Shulchan didn't like two of them. That was kind of part one. Part two, we analyzed the shaila of mekalkel. Should we apply the heter of mekalkel in this situation? We had a hakira. What's the baseline? Is the baseline that destruction potters you, or that there's a positive need for productivity? And the third part of tonight's shir was a shaila in shinoi. Should we apply the heter of shinoi in this situation? The pashup shot, I think we all would not apply the tour of shinoi because it's a very normal act. That's the Shidduch Sotah Shulchan. The Dogam Revav is apparently holding that we do apply the Ptur of Shinoi because we don't look at the act itself. We look at the Malach in general. Generally speaking, Mochik is not done by destroying the surface, just by attacking the letters. And so apparently he felt we should apply the Ptur of Kalach Hayad in this situation. Now, just to show where we're headed next week, next week there are a lot of very interesting outfalls of this Shaila and the Dogam Revava. So from next week, we're probably going to finish up Kalach Hayad, but we'll see. We'll discuss a number of outflows, contemporary shilas that came up in the postgame that were dependent on the Dogam Revava. But just for tonight, in terms of the Psak Halach on cutting the cake, so Halach L'maisa, the Mishnah Brura, brings up the issue that Meir had pointed out before. He makes a split in the Psak Halach. Mishnah Brura paskins in Simon Shin Mem on Sif Gimel there that when it comes to cutting the cake before eating it, we should not rely on the Dogam Revava. So before, when you're cutting the cake, you should not destroy the letters, but when you're eating the cake, it's okay to destroy the letters, which may get into Mr. Verstandig's point that when you eat the cake, so we have a heter of derech achila. So therefore, when you're eating the cake, you can go right through the happy birthday and enjoy beforehand prematurely. So the Mishnah Brura doesn't rely on the Dogam Revava, but the Achronim point out you could cut between the letters. So if you're cutting in between the letters, but not destroying the letters themselves, that would be perfectly permissible. Now, Mordechai just pointed out that this is also relevant to ripping packages. Also, ripping through letters and packaging is very much connected to this Dogam Revava issue. So that's a good nekuda. Maybe we'll emphasize that more next week. Okay. Shkayach. Maybe we have to...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.